Pete's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk from 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. Hour number three begins right now. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is text me. Let me know what is on your mind. Still to come on the program, about 30 minutes or so from now, we'll hear from our senior United States Senator, Tommy Tuberville. He'll be with us, so you want to stay tuned for that. He's also the Republican gubernatorial nominee. That's in about a half hour. Joining us now, he's our returning champion and kind to be very flexible today, but State Senator Chris Elliott is on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Always happy to accommodate Coach Tuberville.
Well, we really appreciate that. It was just how you had to kind of schedule it this morning. You made some news, the Jimmy Buffett Bridge. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, John Sharp and I were talking about, I think, flock cameras the other day, and he kind of slipped one in there. He said, you know, what do you think the bridge ought to be named? And I said I thought it ought to be named after Jimmy Buffett. I mean, I thought that would be a great way to get many of our visitors that use that bridge in the mood and make folks smile and be happy. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Jimmy Buffett, he certainly got deep roots here in the coast and on both sides of the bay. Heck, the whole Upper Gulf Coast, and so anyway, it just seems to make sense to me.
Well, it certainly caught a lot of eyes. The discussion about naming the bridge just seems a tad premature.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's so much work to still be done on this project. I'm ready to get started on it. I hope we'll see a groundbreaking here in the next couple of months, certainly before the end of the Ivy administration, and get rolling on that. And then we can talk about naming this thing for another 5 years, if we want to. It just was a little bit of whimsy, but, certainly, like you said, it's caught a lot of eyes and got a lot of attention. People seem to really like the idea.
The aforementioned flock camera issue seems to have bumped data centers off the front page, at least here in Alabama. I know this was I was listening to Senator Orr talk about this on Amy Beth and Allison's podcast. Y'all were kind of headed to the curb in the Alabama State Senate 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, a little bit. And Senator Orr deserves a lot of that credit. You know, he is the kind of pensive, you know, thoughtful leader we need on an issue like this, because there are real concerns, not just about, you know, public safety, and the gathering of this data, right, and the privacy concerns that go along with it. But who is housing that data? Where is that data being housed? Who's controlling it? Are they monetizing it? What are they doing with it, et cetera? And so we've taken some steps in the right direction, but we need to do some more. And this is one of those wide ranging issues that really you need to take the public safety side of things and the privacy side of things and figure out where the compromises are, because there are benefits on and costs on both sides.
Yeah, and well, it does seem to be the populist issue of our time. And, you know, I would, my audience isn't real life necessarily, and neither is Facebook or whatever, but I mean, there's just people who are just vehemently anti-flock camera and don't want that part of, you know, the law enforcement apparatus at all.
Well, I've certainly read that and seen that. And as you point out, it is the issue du jour. I wonder what we'll be talking about in the month, because we'll have moved on to something else by then. But it is a real issue. Just like this conversation about data centers is a real issue. What we in the legislature need to be really careful about, though, is not making law, right, changing statute too quickly necessarily because something got exciting on Facebook for a moment, right? We need to take a step back, understand the issues, think about them, again, pensively, and set policy that protects the public, and not necessarily policy that is a knee-jerk reaction to something that's posted on social media.
Well, I mean, that happens a lot. But, you know, maybe it's different this time. The data center discussion seemed to be really hyper-fueled by it being an election cycle. And, you know, you're doing campaign events and town halls, and then you got 20, 30 people in the audience upset about a solar farm or a data center. So does this have, you know, will this be something you think that will get attention next session?
I think it will get attention next session, whether or not we'll come up with a comprehensive policy solution in that short amount of time is probably doubtful. And that's a good thing, right? You don't want to start changing the rules on business, and especially businesses like this that are making huge investments. But you want to take time to drive policy in a constructive way, in a thoughtful way, and not in a knee-jerk way, again, because you're looking at something that, hey, all too often is being driven on Facebook, which uses data centers, using some AI-generated cartoon, right? It's been done by data centers. You know, and Coach Tuberville has a good point, too, about, you know, foreign actors getting in this market. And as we have proliferation of data centers, which is absolutely going to happen, whether that's in the United States or elsewhere, do we want to have the Chinese controlling that very same data, or do we want that, you know, housed here on shore? And so these are all good questions and discussions to have, and where they're going on right now. I just am very wary of a knee-jerk reaction that causes us problems later on down the road.
How far down the data center track have we gone? It sounds like, you know, this sort of showed up out of nowhere, but a lot of the plans for these facilities have been long in place, have been, you know, the permitting has gone on. And then somebody somewhere said, whoa, but we've kind of let the toothpaste out of the tube to some degree.
Well, certainly. I mean, it was a business function that was going on. It was, you know, private property being bought and sold, and it's a normal, usual, customary, you know, business transaction, and it didn't affect anybody. It was out of sight, out of mind, and everybody was like, oh, there's a building going up over there. Okay. Where it came to be an issue was with power and water, right? And so there was all this, you know, dramatized attention on power and water. And then what did we find out? Well, the water issue is really not an issue, right? If you dig into it, it's not really a water usage issue. Do they use water? Yeah, but they also reuse the water that they use. So it's not like it's draining the aquifer or something like that. The big issue comes, in my mind, around power and how we're getting power to them, who's paying for the infrastructure to provide the power, and making sure that the ratepayers aren't being burdened with a commercial enterprise that's housing that. So we've done some of that already, and we're going to continue to work on that in concert with power generation, power suppliers, and frankly, the end user themselves.
Well, do you think, you know, the power grid in Alabama, I was thinking about this, you know, we don't have brownouts like they do in some of these other states nearby. Tennessee, Texas come to mind when they have the cold snap, a really brutal cold snap. That we seem to be okay, but there's a lot of consternation out there about utility rates, and I know the PSC has changed, and we're going to get a handle on that. But like, just the whole idea of power generation and really having like the most efficient marketplace, and you start to address some of those concerns, maybe some of these power concerns on these data centers goes away.
Exactly, and that's it. Are people scared of the data centers, or are they scared of the water issue, or are they scared of the power issue? I think you've hit the nail on the head. They're scared of the power issue, and so you have to figure out what is that really an issue. And I think the answer is yes, right? They're large consumers of power, and then as you say, can the power generation companies handle that? What does that look like in their future, right? Is this a 10-year customer, a 20-year customer, a 50-year customer? And I would suggest that this is probably a 20-year customer. If you're counting on technology not to change dramatically in 50 years, go look 50 years back and see what it looked like. And so, you know, you don't want to build 50-year infrastructure for a 20-year customer. And then you got to look at how does this impact the market, right? And the ratepayers. And so I think there needs to be, this is my opinion, there need to be more requirements for these folks to produce their own power, and maybe not rely so heavily on the public grid or the grid that's managed by the Public Service Commission. And so those are the things that that I think we need to look at. And I think we're headed down that general direction to provide some real solutions to what people are actually concerned about, not the boogeyman that you see again on social media.
This is such a great point. Where are we 20 years from now as data storage becomes more compact, as it becomes you don't need big giant data centers? Maybe you're able to do it much more efficiently, as has been the case through this technology wave in our history right now. We build these big giant data center campuses and they're springing up everywhere. 20 years, what happens? And I think 20 years sounds like a long way out, but it's not. I mean, what were you doing 20 years ago, Senator? You probably can recall if you look back and, I remember that day. That seems like, here we are, we're going to do this. There's sort of this hurry up with getting these things online and on board. And then later on, it may look like an old Rust Belt car manufacturing facility in Michigan somewhere.
That's exactly right. And that's and listen, they're planning on that too, right? 20 years ago, we were using floppy disks and we were starting to get accustomed to this thing called a jump drive, right? Nobody uses those anymore. And so, I think in 20 years, these companies know that whatever they're building now is probably going to be obsolete. They've built that into their plan. I just want to make sure that as a public utility, the public utilities are not trying to build out, 50-year infrastructure for a 20-year plan.
Yeah. So, and then you got to figure out what you're going to do with these spaces, and you built all this power and sewage and water infrastructure up, and it's just it's a dormant building that, there's got to be looking ahead. Well, what are we going to do with this later on? Is there another use? I know this is a hard question 20 years from now, but I just that has to be a part of the reasoning here.
Well, it does. And those are market questions. And again, those folks that are investing in these data centers, they figured that answer out. This thing is either, this asset's either depreciated to zero by the time we get there, or they figured out another use. My concern is I don't want ratepayers impacted negatively. I don't want the public utilities, investing in infrastructure that is beyond that window of usefulness, to where they're left holding the bag on all of this infrastructure that is really, frankly, not all that useful anymore. And so those are all these, whether we're talking about flock cameras or data centers, these are all the types of questions we need to take a step back, think about, and not be quite so reactionary on the Facebook about it or whatever the kids are using now, and take a break and take a breath and figure out real solutions to real problems.
Well, last question, we'll get you out of here. Well, what comes first, the downfall of the data center industry or the I-10 Mobile River Bridge Bayway?
I actually think we'll see a bayway before we will see the data center industry become obsolete. So that's some good news. I'm excited that it's back moving forward. It's not perfect. I don't love every aspect of it, but it's going to get done, and it's going to get done soon.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for being flexible today.
Thanks so much for having me. Enjoy your conversation with Coach.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. You look into